All right, so welcome to the March 4th edition of the TSC meeting. I'm hosting the call today as Arno is on a plane. So there's two things that we must do in order to attend this meeting, although I think everybody on this call already knows this. Obviously, the first thing is the antitrust policy notice, which is being displayed on the screen now. And the second one is to live by the code of conduct. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. So the first thing that we have is a set of announcements. The first one is the Dev Weekly Developer Newsletter. If you have any content, please consider adding comments to the wiki page to include that content in the Weekly Developer Newsletter. This second thing here is the mentorship program. So a week from now is the timeline for all proposals being submitted to the mentorship program. So if you have a good idea, please submit the proposal. And then the last one is a week from tomorrow, the CFP for the Hyperledger Global Forum closes. Any other announcements that anybody might have? Okay. So the next thing is the quarterly reports. So we don't have reports from Burrow for the quarter, and we don't have the Quilt one yet. It was due this week. So the one that we do have is the Cello one. Yeah, Dano?
So Burrow is coming up on 3 weeks late for report, and we didn't get a Q4 report. At what point does this become an issue?
Yeah, so Arno and I were talking about this. We need to reach out to Silas to see about getting a report. We do see that there's activity going on in the actual GitHub repo. So there's actual work being done. It's not like it's been completely abandoned, if you will. So we just need to reach out to Silas and see if we can get him to give us a report. So Arno mentioned that he was going to do that, so we'll give him the opportunity to do that and see if we can get back a response from Silas and the Burrow community. All right, so on the Cello one, the only thing that I saw in the Cello one was a call for front-end developers. So if you or anyone you know might be interested in contributing to Cello as a front-end developer, they are looking for people to contribute. But other than that, I didn't see any other questions or concerns being raised. Does anybody have any questions or concerns on this that we should raise on the call? Okay, I'll take silence as a no. All right, so the topic for today is to discuss how we come up with ideas of how we break down the silos. So Arno has been requesting for, you know, the last week, 2 weeks for us to be commenting on these ideas around what came out of this discussion with the SIGs. This one has had some discussion, but it mostly focused on lab sponsors and thinking about that. And there is a discussion that's ongoing there. What I wanted to specifically talk about with this particular one is the silos that we have within Hyperledger and how we might go about breaking down some of those silos. So in thinking about the silos that we do have, we've got the labs, we've got the projects, the working groups, the SIGs, even TSC could be considered a silo based on one of the emails that came out this week on the list that I think it was on the maintainers list actually, that the projects don't often listen to the TSC and what we're coming up with. There's also been comments around knowing what the decisions are from the TSC. So, just want to open the floor and see if anybody has any ideas or thoughts. This is our time to kind of brainstorm around how we go about breaking down the silos that we do have within Hyperledger.
Hi, Tracy. It's Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
I agree with the silos, because every time I go to one of the SIG calls or the working group calls or one of the project calls, the information that they have is so important. But again, it's just there. And I think this is something that can be worked on. I don't know if the newsletter is the way to communicate. I find that what the developer's newsletter messages is awesome, and it gets out to everybody. Maybe we can incorporate, because communication is definitely one of the ways I think you can break down these silos. So maybe the newsletter is a way to, you know, once we have a centralized location for this stuff, announce where it is for everybody to benefit from. Is that the right track of what you were talking about?
That's a good idea. So how do we get people to contribute to the developer newsletter? I mean, obviously we have a call every week on this, you know, we have a call on this call, right? Every week to have people contribute, but how do we spread that beyond just the people who are joining the call and get other people to recognize that this newsletter is really a community-driven newsletter?
Is there a column or something in the newsletter that, you know, like the TSC chairman's column or something, or, you know, what's going on in the TSC every week or something? Or
if I might, there's no, but there's no reason that it couldn't be. The newsletter is for the developer community, which includes pretty much everybody on this call, right, to decide what the content is. And I see that both, I think Gary raised his hand first, and then David Boswell.
Okay.
Well, I'll just say I'm kind of like a broken record, but I don't know how you break down barriers when you have no unified mission. There's no unification, right? A SIG, what's the SIG for, right? It just doesn't make sense, right? There is a pipeline from lab. I mean, there theoretically was a pipeline from, you know, starting out in labs, right, to become a real project, right? So we've talked that ad nauseum in the last couple of meetings, you know, or at least that's in there. But like, you know what I mean? It's like nobody ever translates. Of all the things, right? I don't even know that I've ever seen anything that came out of and it might be true that this, I might have missed it, that ever was a requirement written against a product, or I mean, one of the projects. Never seen it, right? They write it in a document, but we have Jira or Git issues, right? Nothing in there, right? Or then what are we actually trying to accomplish? So I don't really know how you can have break down barrier silos when there's no unified mission for Hyperledger. I'm just going to keep saying that every time. I don't think there is one. I think it's a potpourri of things. And when you get a potpourri of things, you get silos.
Okay. Thanks, Gary. David?
I have a couple things that have come up in different discussions that I'll share here, because I think there are some concrete things we could do. So just to give one example, you know, Tracy last year had, you know, presented the idea of having contributor-thons, and we've, you know, recently presented on the idea of, you know, we tried that last year and we presented on the idea of how that worked. But the pilot effort that we did for that was looking at just one project. So I guess that was not helping break out the silos, but I think there's the potential for doing these going forward in a way that it would break the silos. So to point out two things where I think they could be good models for trying to address this issue. So for example, we reached out to Dano to see if he would be interested in doing something to this. And Dano, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were saying that you were interested in doing something that would be cross-project collaboration. So I think that would be a good example of addressing silos. And it could address two different things. So for example, Dano, if I remember correctly, you said if we did something for Beizu, you would be interested in having it be focused on having Beizu work with Explorer and Cello. So that could be, doing that could be a nice way of identifying where there are points of, you know, interest in cross project efforts and then supporting those. And it, you know, we just saw in the Cello report that they're interested in having more front end developers. So maybe if we do that, we can also get them some more attention. So I think there are actually points where there's interest in some cross collaboration. And if we foster that and show that it's a viable model, maybe that would bring up more. And just to throw out one other example, on Monday, we had a conversation with the Climate SIG about a lab they're doing. And Peter from the Cactus Project came there because the SIG is interested in using Cactus. And he did want to hear what the requirements were. He is invested in making sure that they could evolve Cactus so it is something that they could use in that particular use case. And they are also talking about figuring out ways that they can collaborate together. So I think there are actually some examples out there. I think it takes time and effort to go out and listen and hear what all of the 16 projects are interested in doing, what all the active labs are doing. And then somebody needs to do that brokering to see where there's overlap and then support those. So I think that is one thing that could be done. And there are some initial points there. I think the other thing goes to a conversation we had recently about how critical relationships are in an open source community and how people who don't have those relationships also sometimes get ignored. You know, I think one thing that came up in that thread Tracy's talking about is mentorship, but I realize mentorship is probably not the right word for that because there's a mentorship program and what we're talking about is separate from that. So maybe we can come up with a better name for it, but maybe liaisons. I think if we help foster and build relationships, that would help address some of these things and get people out of silos. So one thing that I think came up in that thread would be, what if people on the TSC adopted one of the working groups or special interest groups or labs or what have you for a set period of time? I mean, it wouldn't need to be a huge commitment, you know, one quarter, two quarters, and goes, you know, and they go to the regular calls, they have relation, you know, they do some relationship building activities, maybe have some one-on-ones with some of the key stakeholders. But I think we could foster some of those, you know, relationships and cross-project collaboration if we did have some sort of an active liaison effort. And again, I think that's just community building best practices. I think when you have the key stakeholders, the key contributors in a community paying it forward and, you know, helping onboard and bring new people into the fold, those people then have those relationships and are then set up more for success going forward and have a better view of the landscape. I think part of the issue that we live in silos is because people never have the opportunity to meet people outside of the groups they go to. They go to the SIG meeting, they go on the SIG chat channel or mailing list. They're only in that one bubble. Like, can we create some linkages across those places? So, I mean, would people on the CSC be comfortable adopting a lab or a SIG or a working group for a set period of time? You know, I think those are two concrete things we could do.
David, a question for you. You mentioned Peter and the climate SIG, right? So how did that come about? Was that because the SIG reached out on the Cactus list, or did somebody have a relationship with Peter? Like, what was the kind of the process for that happening?
Well, Cy was a lot of this behind it, so he may have a different story to say, but I think some of it, at least, I mean, a lot goes to his credit for he was reaching out, but a lot of it was Cy didn't even know where to begin reaching out. So I go to those climate action calls regularly. I heard that they were talking about being interested in other projects, so I kind of walked them through how do you communicate with those other projects. And then, again, to Cy's credit, once he got pointed in the right direction and understood the dynamics, he then went to go talk, have some conversations on those lists. So if you look at the Cactus list, mailing list, for example, you'll see Cy reached out, told him what they're doing, had a discussion there. So I think that's a really positive example. If it's helpful for the group, I can pull up the mailing list thread here so you can see. But Cy did a lot of the heavy lifting, but somebody had to help him understand how the dynamic worked. And again, I think we have a situation where there's 70 plus places where you could go to have these discussions, where you could go define code that you might be able to, you know, do. So somebody needed to help orient the climate group to understand what the landscape and the community even was to begin with, right? So, but once they had their bearings, I think, you know, open source worked, right? They showed up, they had a scratch itch, they talked to the right people, and now they're off and running, right? But there was kind of a liaison-ish, you know, starting point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other thoughts?
I had a question for David. Are the two, Cactus and the Climate Sig, like just talking about things, or like people from the Climate Sig actually starting to put code back into Cactus?
So here, if it's helpful, I can grab the link. But so what the initial conversations here, just one second. Oh, chat, interesting. It's telling me chat is disabled for some reason. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I disabled that to drive it to the...
Oh, to the Rocket Chat, gotcha. Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, I don't
want to... Or you can screen share your...
Oh, no, no, I'll put on Rocket Chat. So I dropped on Rocket Chat the lab. So that, yes, that is starting. So Peter is, again, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but my understanding is Peter is motivated to understand what the requirements are for the lab, and he wants to have Cactus do what the lab is wanting to do. So I don't know if, I don't believe Cy or anybody in that group has yet delivered things. It's still, you know, exploratory and initial. We had a conversation on Monday. Without going into the weeds too much, we're seeing if there's something we can do to help promote the lab for Earth Day, because Earth Day is coming up in April. So, you know, I joined to see if there's things that we could do to help kind of package up what they're doing and promote it out later in April. And the Cactus work is part of that. So Peter had talked about going through the Cactus a list of bugs, tagging things, not just as good first bug, but tagging them as, you know, specifically for that lab. And then once we have that list from Peter, you know, we can then work with Cy and his group and then promote that out. So I can go into the more of the weeds, but that's the short version of the answer, if that's helpful.
Yes, thank you.
And Dano, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like you, I mean, that was another example. You, it sounded like you were interested in places where, you know, Bezu could work with other projects, so we could do a similar thing with it. Understand where those touch points are, document some bugs as, you know, things where they're, you know, use whatever tag we want, you know, good first issue plus, you know, Bezu and or whatever.
And I mostly got that from looking at the greenhouse, realizing that the only two projects that don't support Ethereum directly were the Explorer and so on. Just like, we should just, you know, finish the list so that they're all, and it helps these two projects because those two don't have a strong multi-blockchain backend as a generic tool either. So it would strengthen both projects.
Yeah, and we could. I mean, if that's something we choose to do, we can do, you know, the same thing that we're doing, you know, to promote these other contribution opportunities, such as the Fabric documentation translation or the BAF lab stuff that we've shared here before. So, I mean, it's within our power to do that if we want to foster cross-project collaboration.
Okay. So far I've heard, let me just recap what I've heard and see if this sparks any additional thoughts from folks. I've heard communication is key, and maybe we can use the developer newsletter. Building on top of that is maybe including what's going on in the TSC in that newsletter every week. And Gary said we need a unified mission, which I think I agree with, Gary. Contributathons across projects, brokering or fostering relationships, and David, you also said another thing, which I have wrote down, which is, and I don't think you meant to say this, but I think it's important, the opportunity to meet others is another piece of this. I think, you know, we used to have the Hackfest pretty much on a quarterly basis, and that gave us the opportunity to meet people that we might not have otherwise met in the community. So, you know, that I think is a missing piece, right? As we've grown, we've decreased those, right? And now we're not having those. And obviously a lot of that is the environment in which we live today, but, you know, that's something that maybe we could consider and think about. So other things that list of things has brought to your mind as something you'd like to contribute to the discussion? Anyone?
So with respect to Hackfest, those were typically more geared for the developers. So that would improve cross project communication, but it wouldn't necessarily help with SIGs, right? I'm wondering, with a CFP for the Global Summit, I don't know if it would be appropriate to discuss, are we seeing proposals from the SIGs as well as projects, or is it geared more towards just projects? If it's fair to comment on that or not. Because that would be an opportunity for people to go and find out what's going on in the SIGs if the SIGs were doing presentations.
I am not sure, and I don't know. I think Daniela or Marta might know that, but I also don't know if we can disclose that at this point. Daniela?
I'm sorry, Ryan, what was the question?
Are SIGs responding to the RFP for Global Forum?
I know many of them are planning on doing so because we've had a couple of queries and coaching questions from them. So I would say yes, but you're right, we can't disclose that yet.
Right.
So the answer, Mark, is absolutely. We've encouraged the SIGs to do CFPs individually, the SIG participants, and also the SIGs as a group to come up with themes to submit CFP talks based on the themes of those SIGs and the work that they've been doing within the SIG.
So it would be great if people from the TSC and others in the development community could go to those presentations if they're accepted, or the ones that are accepted.
That'd be great. Yeah. And we'd be happy to summarize those when they get finalized.
Yeah, and just to build on that, I mean, Danielle is right. We have encouraged SIGs to submit to the Global Forum CFP and also the mentorship deadline, which is coming up. And I just dropped a link in the TSC chat as well. Some groups have. And just to flag, if I remember correctly, Vipin, when he presented about to the TSC recently, mentioned that the telecom SIG had submitted mentor proposals in the past, but didn't get accepted. So, if people at the TSC want to keep an eye out for any SIG related proposals this year, that could be potentially an interesting project.
I'm going to propose something that I've put all of several seconds into thought about. So this is a very rough idea. What if there was a pitch slide, a dozen words tops for each project, what they want and how they want to work, where they see opportunities. And we could have, for each of the labs or the SIGs or whatever, we could just have a very two item thing. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is where we need help, or this is what we would like to do. So it was much easier than digging through JIRA. Again, it would add another point of contact, but it would be a lot shorter. I don't know.
Right, it's an interesting thought. I think one thing that came to my mind is, could we use the Hyperledger Twitter account for something like that? Right, which I think would expand beyond just the typical community, right? But I think who we are and where are we looking for other people to come join us is an interesting idea.
Yeah, plus one.
Daniela?
No, yeah, just plus one as well. But we've also discussed taking our job board, our public job board, and renaming it, but using that to basically advertise work or opportunities that people in the projects are looking for, the working groups and the projects are looking for volunteers to work on.
Yeah, that is another good idea, and that should be on the list, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, or know, or somebody else pointed out as well, but I mean, yeah, sometimes the collaboration just doesn't happen because you just don't have the visibility into, hey, this other group is doing something that, I'm also interested in. There's just too many places for one person to, you can't read every list, right? or every chat channel. So if we surface stuff that's happening, it might be easier to foster those collaboration points.
Other thoughts?
Aside from Mark, is anyone here on a working group? I know that Mark is a working group chair for the Perf and Scale. And okay, Bobby?
Learning Materials Working Group. And I'm an active member of the Social Impact SIG and the Public Sector SIG.
Grace?
I'm on the DCI Working Group.
Is there any way that, for those, is there anything that we could do, we, this forum, could do to, make more connections there between what the DCI Working Group and Learning Materials Working Group and Perf and Scale Working Group need or want? Is there, do you see anything that, any opportunities there?
I think the Global Forum is going to be a great showcase to expose what's going on in the working groups and SIGs. And again, I'm encouraging the Learning Materials Working Group to submit something. And I know that, I know David can probably talk more about the meetups, but I know that they're looking into doing something. So I think just for those of us who do sit in on the SIGs in the working groups, to encourage them to do a submission for the Global Forum, because people need to know what they're up to, and that's the best place to get participants in consortiums, I think.
All right, for those of you who haven't spoken up yet, any thoughts? And Gary, I saw you came off mute.
Oh, well, actually, I didn't mean to, but I do. I was going to raise my hand, but I just did that by accident. I was just going to say, I was just thinking, I made my, comment as usual, but in listening to some of the points here and then thinking, like, I know, for example, like, from the documentation working group, right, we've actually had stuff that's been pushed in. But, like, if we ever had like an end-to-end thread that was something such as, and I heard some, I think some things that what was like, hey, a SIG or a working group, right? Let's say a group or an industry group, right? Comes up with something, a use case, they come up with some requirements. Then we say, all right, maybe we should do like a hack fest around that, with maybe the result being potentially a lab project. And then, looking at incubating that lab project into where does it fit into one of the existing projects or a new project. Have we ever had anything that steered that entire course?
This is Daniela. I know that the India regional chapter is currently, they're about to launch a hack. What's it called? A hack. Is everyone on yet?
Hack-a-rack.
A hack fest and working in collaboration with the Social Impact SIG.
So that would be like, yeah, so I think we've had some pairwise, right? Like we had, anyway, I was just thinking that, we were thinking about how could you define like how things more interact. I was just thinking that maybe they're when you hear all the sort of pairwise things between different whatever pillars or groups, like whether it be labs and projects or labs and whatever it may be, like, maybe they're, I was just wondering if we ever actually had anything. And that's where I kind of meant like the unified kind of mission type thing, right? Because you could have, we came in with a bunch of requirements around this. We wanted to prove out that, we need to see these types of things in a blockchain platform. Hey, if more people are interested in contributing to that, could they, do a hack fest, prove it out, kind of like we used to do early on. Maybe that results in a labs project, and then maybe some other big project, either a new, hopefully not a new project, but then somebody else sort of picks it up. Like, that's kind of what I kind of meant by like having a mission. Cause if you kind of have like a mission, like an end state goal of like where you start from something and end with something, you get more interaction, right? But isolation is kind of driven by the nature that they are isolated. Except like documentation is a good example because that spread a lot of stuff like into groups and other things like that. So we have them kind of, but I guess that, you know, just thinking way back, right? That was parts of the ideas of Hackfest way back when, and they never really resulted in that because they ended up being mostly getting users, you know, teaching people how to use existing projects. Anyway, I'll pause there. So that was just a thought. If we ever had one, it would be a good exemplar to use. But maybe we should see if there's something in play right now that might fit that bill.
Yeah. Other folks' ideas. I know there's a lot of folks on the call that haven't spoken up yet. So this is your opportunity to add a twist to what we're thinking about as far as breaking down silos. Yeah, Arun.
Hey, sorry, I had to join late today because of a conflict, so I don't know what the conversation is.
So Arun, we've been talking about ways to break down the silos between projects, labs, working groups, SIGs, the TSC. And so it's mostly been a brainstorming sort of discussion. And Nathan, I see you have your hand up.
Where we're volunteer organization and a lot of people are contributing based on their own, you know, current business plan. I think the biggest part is how do we increase the amount of exposure we have to each other's ideas. We've talked a lot about having different groups come and present to one another. We've talked about, you know, what happened at a lot of the Hackfests in the past where you try to get people from different projects and SIGs to sit at the same table and talk about what they were working on. Really, I think one of the questions here is how do we get as many opportunities as we can for people to brush shoulders with each other so that when there is an opportunity, we as a community realize it more quickly and are able to mobilize people who find that problem interesting. And, you know, we've had struggles getting people to contribute content to the newsletter. That's a great chance to try to promote your idea or to promote something you think deserves more attention. I think we're not going to be very successful when we try to make a procedure that forces people to collaborate or tries to, you know, artificially push people to go to a group that they aren't very naturally motivated to go to. But the more we can create tools that bubble these ideas up, so, you know, as part of a report we see it, or as part of a newsletter we see it, or as part of the regular, you know, working group meetings that you're already attending, there's some influence or some announcements about what's going on outside of your own bubble, the better. I don't know that I have specific ideas on how to make that happen other than, you know, every time we're doing an event, we need to think about how do we share what's going on outside or outside of that particular group, or how do we make those opportunities for people to talk to one another, like having an unconference day at Global Forum or having, you know, ways of creating that kind of networking table type things that we've done in the past.
Yeah, Nathan, I think at one point early this year, late last year, at the last Global Forum, because it's March again, there was decision made by the TSC that the project should share their RFCs with a larger group, right? Like make an announcement of a new RFC that's been created within their project. We haven't seen any RFCs be announced anywhere. Obviously, that's us trying to force that communication to happen. But yet it was a attempt at the idea of making people understand what's happening outside of their bubble. So, you know, I think we've tried, we've not succeeded. So we need to find a different way to try and make that happen. And so if there's ideas around, you know, that others might have, right? Because I think Nathan and I both recognize a challenge, and probably everybody on this call recognizes that challenge, but is there a way for us to solve that challenge?
I had one thought, and I'll drop the link into chat. And here, let me share my screen too. You know, we're talking about breaking out of bubbles, and we're talking about maybe the newsletter being that channel. I mean, I guess one concern with that is that it needs to be manual. So as we're having this conversation, it occurred to me that from the Mozilla community, they have a nice, this is what something they call Planet Mozilla, but it's effectively trying to break out bubbles. Mozilla itself is a huge community with different parts of it. So this is more of a just an automated aggregator. Again, I think maybe one of the downsides of the newsletter process is that, again, people have to manually remember to do that. So this is just something that kind of is automated. So I don't know if maybe considering something like this, is there some way to just automatically aggregate conversations? I know we talked about automatically aggregating perhaps issues that different projects have, you know, submitted in their different project areas, but this would be a similar thing, but aggregating different types of conversations, you know, some sort of aggregator or mailing list aggregator or, you know, what have you, Twitter aggregator, but some sort of thing that aggregates conversations to in one place could help break bubbles. So just this occurred to me when we were talking, so I just wanted to share this too.
Yeah, go ahead, Roy.
One thing that I was looking into, thank you, Tracy, was you can tag, or can you tag, like releases or anything other than GitHub issues. So my thought was, we have this thing that automatically aggregates bugs with good first issue. Is it possible to tag a discussion since some of the, or several of the projects have enabled GitHub discussions for their projects, like Fabric has that. Can those be tagged? Can a release be tagged as this is important, or a PR be tagged without an associated bug? I haven't got to the end of that, but if those items can be tagged, then that might be a way that we could feed some of this data automatically.
Right. You mentioned that we do have an aggregator for good first bugs across Hyperledger. Is that true?
We have a GitHub, we have a plugin for Confluence, and it does pull good first issues for a project, but I have not looked to see if I can pull it across an org yet. I will do that now.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually where I was going to go when we both started talking at the same time. Is I, you know, we, in one of the other mailing list items that came out of the SIG was this idea of having an aggregation of those good first issues across projects, right? And not only across the repos, but also kind of the requests from SIGs or working groups or any sort of, you know, folks within the Hyperledger community of things that they need help with, right? And so I think that could be an interesting, if we could get a place where you could go, one place you could go and see all of the sorts of, you know, requests for help, if you will, that would be, I think, a really great start to solving some of this.
Agreed. Here is the BAF version of this plugin. So this is automatically, you know, rendered whenever you visit the BAF page.
Yeah, cool.
So the next step would be, so this is the query right here. The next step would be to see if I can make that query larger in scope. So
I think even Rye, we could do something where it's per project or per lab, right? I mean, obviously that makes it a bit more difficult because there are a ton of repos. So there's something that can be automated. That's obviously better. Other thoughts, other ideas?
Is it the silo that we are trying to break across projects, or is it that gap which we are trying to avoid from users or new contributors with Hyperledger, because they both go in different streams.
Arun, I think there's so many silos, right? And then we're just looking to see if there's ways that we can come up with as ideas for breaking silos, any of the silos, right? Breaking down the silos, getting people to talk to one another, getting people to recognize that there's more stuff going on out there than they may realize. Being able to foster those relationships, right?
Awesome. So one thing I can tell you from India chapter meetings, because I lead that aspect as well, right? So many people come to the call and they say, hey, I'm new to blockchain and I'm new to Hyperledger. And they say, okay, I'm new to Hyperledger Fabric. And when I read the documentation, it's so difficult. I don't know where to start contributions. And one of the asks which I always make on the call is, hey, you are all technical developers. Why don't you see that there are few things and you have your free time, you want to get involved? Here are the ways in which you can get involved. So they feel it, even if we do it per project, they still feel it, okay, I may not have enough information on the project to get started. So what I was thinking about is, can we have something like, hey, here are the issues which are purely, you don't need to know deep into specific project. It is more about, let's say, setting up some CI pipeline. If you know how this Travis works, then this is all good. If you know how GitHub Action works, this is all good. You go there, pick it up, start working on it. So this is a way in which you can get introduced to the team at least, and that will further you into that specific project for contributions. And the same thing could happen for documentation contributions, or even if we can break it down till the level where we say, here are the issues which will not require you to know deep into any of this. Probably this is related to an example application, or this is related to purely a programmatical aspect of it. You get involved in it. So that could be a way, but I don't know how to achieve it. Maybe it requires more tooling efforts or something that we need to develop, which we don't have at all. And one other thing which I'm personally working on with one of my team member is trying to figure out how many long pending PRs do we have on Hyperledger, right? I see few of, in fact, one of my PR is still waiting for more than 2 years now, literally from the time I submitted. And that time I was still like in my previous company. So these kind of experiences for new developers would really be a concern from the community. So I'm trying to get that metric out, and I wrote a simple tool to pull all the PRs which are pending for a long time. And similarly, if we can do those kind of things the reason why I like this GitHub issue tagging is that we can really come up with those kind of tags which will define us or help us saying that, hey, you want to get involved into it and you are a Java developer or you are good at documenting thing that you are expert in specific language, then here are the opportunities for you. And another concern from within the projects is one of the concerns which I hear at least is, so people think that they don't see a value in attending common meetings. And this kind of comment I hear also for TSC meetings, unfortunately. So people think that TSC meetings are way beyond what they should be attending. So I see one way to bridge that would be, let's say we pick up projects which is not tied to one specific framework or platform. Example, Explorer, right? So that could be developed or modeled for any of the ledgers. And maybe Aries, there is an open opportunity for somebody to go and develop like some interface which would abstract that away from Indy, or if it is already done, then that's still good, right? So those kind of aspects are where we can think about bringing together silos across different projects. Can we list down those and try to target through maintainer summits for those aspects.
So I agreed. I'm showing here on my screen, like the oldest open one is 1,084 days for Sawtooth. So there are a lot of ancient PRs.
How can we solve this?
Well, what exactly are you trying to solve though? What does solve mean? I guess I should, what's your definition of solve?
We should not be having this kind of experience for first time contributors.
Well, did you actually look in the pull request, and did the first time contributor actually go back and ask if anybody had looked at it?
I can tell you from my own experience, right, which is waiting for a long time. Nobody looked into it.
Yeah, so on this one, it looks like there were changes requested in May of 2018. So, this is just for a specific PR, but, you know.
Nathan?
Sometimes I wonder if maybe as a TSC, we could put together some maintainer training. I know one thing that we had a lot of success with it, or I shouldn't say we, that the SALT project had a lot of success with, is they had someone who was assigned to essentially do the first hit is free on pull requests. So when you came to the project with a new contribution, there was a maintainer who would help you make sure your first pull request landed successfully. And part of that was to help teach new contributors how the style guides worked, how code quality checks worked, all of those things that might not be obvious when you first want to try to help. And it really increased the amount of developer retention that they had and helped make the community feel a lot more welcoming. Now, obviously, not all of us have the same level of resourcing or the same ability to do that, but are there some things we can, I know we pay attention to some metrics around diversity of contributors, we pay attention to some metrics about releases, we pay attention to some metrics about how long until people respond to a bug or how long until people respond to a pull request. Is there something we can do to help put this in the maintainers or in the minds of all the maintainers?
Yep, good point. Sean? Sean, you're on mute.
Sorry.
There you go.
Yes. So, one of the things I've been very keen on is to have some sort of code of conduct for, maybe that's not the right word, but some sort of guide for maintainers. If someone's new to a project, can they kind of look at the workflow of a project and see that they can expect a PR to be sort of reviewed within a week or so, or 2 weeks or so. Also, that if a project isn't behaving according to the code of conduct, then there should be some sort of pressure applied in some sort of way, because this really doesn't look very good. It really puts people off when pull requests aren't answered or not taken seriously. I don't know how this can be enforced in Hyperledger. It probably can't. But something along those lines, I was.
Yeah, I seem to recall that we've talked about like best practices, right, for maintainers in the past, but I don't think that's ever gotten any traction. Nathan, I really like the Sherpa idea, if you will. I had one, my very first contribution to Fabric, and that helped a lot, right? I didn't know Garrett at all, and so just getting through that process was quite painful, even though all I was trying to do was like make a spelling issue right fix. So I think these are all really good ideas. Mark? Sure. I'm sorry, Dave. Yeah, okay, Dave, Mark, go ahead.
Dave, go.
Yeah, Dave.
Right, so on the project reports, we recently had people put the link to their insights dashboard or whatever. So perhaps we put like an average age of PRs. Is there, I don't know if that's easily available, right? But if people could, you know, self-enforce by putting that in their report, and we ask people to put that in their report, that would at least get them thinking about it and talking to the other maintainers about how can we reduce this metric.
If I could, like, yes, and what I would ask the TSCD to do, and I asked this on, I think on the Fabric call and on the URSA call yesterday, was to give us, which is to say me, a concrete set of requirements to feed to the product team about what you want as, for example, as a badge or as a report. Hyperledger is way ahead of the curve for Linux Foundation. So you have a great opportunity to give input on what you're asking for, what that should look like. So, Mark?
Yeah, I was actually going to take it a step further and say, you know, we've talked about requirements and the badging, but, you know, the, if anything, the project should be making time to go through and clean up the older ones that may not be applicable anymore. But again, you know, this happens outside of, you know, like, within Red Hat, I know it happens that some of the old ones just sit there forever. They've cleaned up some of mine from 2010 recently. But, you know, there's a housekeeping that needs to happen. And does that become one of the metrics we look at for a project? As we review all of that, I don't want to open that can of worms right now for this call, but, you know, do we look at it as part of your status, as how many old PRs you have and what you're doing?
Yeah. Nathan?
Well, and I think Mark's got the right of it in terms of it's about housekeeping. Sometimes I think the age of a PR is not necessarily the right metric, but how active it is or if it's being ignored. On the balance of things, we often try not to be rude to someone and not be confrontational. And so, you know, instead of telling someone to jump in the lake, we just ignore them altogether. And it turns out that second scenario is worse because then they don't know where they stand. Whereas if we could give them some clear feedback, they know what to do next. This gets back to Rye's comment of we need to have this conversation in the metrics thread of, you know, it's okay to use a pull request as kind of a working branch or, you know, a working discussion. And it's okay for those discussions to take a long time. How do we make it so we have metrics that give us meaningful outcomes in terms of helping people feel invited, helping them feel included, and helping them feel successful?
Yeah, I think you get what you measure, right? And is it being ignored by the maintainers? Is it being ignored by the person who originally created the PR, right? Who's ignoring it and what's the reason for that ignoring happening? So
you can tag pull requests. You can say needs info also. So you can, if the maintainer can put a tag on it, if it needs it, input from the submitter. So
I think Arun, you're next.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up a point that I understand that auto close is not an option or people may not like it, but we could at least have auto remind that kind of bots running, which would remind maintainers, hey, here is a PR maybe you overlooked into because you were busy last time. Maybe this is a chance for you to go back and look into ones.
Gary?
I think there's been some good ideas here too, but I guess in the end, right? I think sometimes I always feel like, I mean, maybe I've had some bad experiences in other open source or whatever stuff that's in here. I think there's a lot of things like Nathan said that happen, right? There's definitely the notion that people do read it, but they don't comment because they're afraid. I get that. So we should probably, you know, put that out there. But in the end, right? So if you come in and you issue a pull request and it doesn't get either for whatever reason, right? It gets ignored, nobody wants it, it gets rejected or whatever, then I mean, then maybe you move on to another project. You have to make a decision what you want to do, you know, with that project. So I guess, again, I sometimes go back to what do we think this is solving? Or should we have a forum that somebody can complain to or write to or whatever, right? It's like, hey, we've been contributing this critical stuff and nobody wants to accept our changes. There's a variety of things, right? But I don't know. I think, I'm just going to put it out there. I think we like to coddle a little too much. Like, I don't know. And then we want to like track people to what they've done it. I'm not sure what we're trying to solve all the time, right? That we think that somebody's just going to come in or whatever. Has anybody intentionally ignored people? Probably not. Right? Just seems like we want to do a lot of coddling, and I think people need to learn how to work in open source, and that's the net of it.
Okay. Sean?
Well, just to answer that, there are contributors will move to onto another project if their PRs are getting ignored. So this is all about open source projects are competing for contributors. That's what you're doing as an open source project. You're finding contributors. And if you're not handling your requests for information or your PRs or your issues well, the contributors will go away. So that's what you're trying to achieve. And there are too many PRs and issues which are not getting responded to. A guide for contributors would be useful, which could say something like, if your PR has no answer, then go to this Rocket channel and say, please can I have some feedback, please, or something like that. Because now people don't know what to do. They just go away and start contributing on another project.
Yep. Gary, one last thought before we get ready to close.
Well, I was just going to say, but you bring up an interesting point, Sean, right? And then maybe that was the reverse of my point, right? The project itself is like, you reap what you sow. Right. So if you don't accept contributions, you don't follow stuff that's in there, then people will just stop, won't contribute to your project. Right.
Good point. Okay. So I know we're hitting very close to the top of the hour. I want to thank you guys for actually making this an hour long discussion. I really thought we would go no longer than a half an hour. So I think there's been a lot of really good points that have been brought up today. We'll try and put my notes that I have into the meeting notes, and let's see what we can do to make some of these things a reality. So with that, I am going to close the call.
Will you be sending out a poll for us to judge your performance, Tracy?
Not at all.